Beloved, open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I will just read that verse, although we will look at a verse or so afterwards, so you might keep it open. But that will be our main verse, a bit of a theme today. I am thinking of it in connection to our theme through the Shorter Catechism number 4 in terms of studying God. And we actually will come back to that a little more formally and directly for a few parts of the Shorter Catechism still to address. But this idea of rock really expresses a lot about God related to all these things. I want to study that today, both morning and evening. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is Hannah. This is her response to God answering her prayer and giving her a child after crying out to God in the tabernacle, praying in the temple, praying, Lord, crying out, and God answers. And then it's a time of rejoicing, and she's saying a number of things. What we'll focus on is what she says about God in verse 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Let me read that again. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And what we're focusing in on today is that last phrase. Neither is there any rock like our God. You might be thinking of a song I've heard often over the years. There is no rock like our God. I don't know it well. That's all I'll give you. But that's just another way of saying it. There is no rock like our God. Neither is there any rock like our God. We study that about the Lord today, that he is a rock and there is no other rock. Again, I'm thinking of our Shorter Catechism number 4 series. What is God is the question, the answer. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And as Robert Raymond says, he thinks the Catechism is summarizing it like this. The answer is God is glory. Infinitely glorious, eternally glorious, unchangeably glorious in all of his perfections. So those three adjectives, if you will, he's infinitely all of his attributes. He's eternally all of his perfections. He's unchangeably all of his perfections. Like a rock. When we want to talk about something you can trust in, we use the word rock. You'll see that even in the names of some businesses and or in some of their advertising, the idea that you can count, that it is not going to change. It is safe, perhaps a safe place for you to invest. It is a rock. Remember what is in view when we think of the word rock and what the scriptures have in view. Hard, firm, impenetrable, tightly packed, not loose and unsure beneath your feet, immovable. This is what we have in view when we think of rock. And as an illustration, particularly the scriptures draws on often for us of how we should think about God. And Hannah has us think today about God as the only rock. She says, neither is there any rock like our God. There is no other rock. Anything else is not really a rock. Not rock solid like our God. No one is like God, our holy rock. For God is God alone. I give that to you as the main idea of this piece of the verse in its context. No one is like God, our holy rock. For God is God alone. Notice he's alone our rock because he alone is holy, she sings. Remember we studied he alone is, as God is infinite, eternally, unchangeably holy. Notice also there's none beside him. Particularly in view would be false gods and their false idols. There is no one beside him. That is, he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, Yahweh, which we studied recently. There is nothing that exists. No one exists except for the fact that he is, I am. And the lesson from Exodus to the return of Christ is that there are no other gods. God alone is true. God alone can be trusted in. God alone is God. God alone is rock. Rock solid. All false gods should be abandoned for the covenant Lord who never abandons and who is the standard of all other standards. Look at verse 3. She says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogant come out of your mouth. Arrogancy, excuse me, come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. I'm compelled to say, notice, beloved, this is a woman speaking, by the way. If you read everything she says, it's so much like what Miriam and the women said and sang with Moses in Exodus 15, the God of war giving them victory over the Egyptians. It's so much like what Mary says in the Gospel of Luke, being told she would bear the Christ child by the Holy Spirit. So much of it is about God, our rock, who defeats our enemies. That's a lot of the context. But notice it's coming out of the mouths and hearts of women. I think that's important to consider and just be thinking of our worship, even with the thoughts and prayers of our ladies. Does not need to be effeminate, because it's trusting in the rock of our God and should express that aspect of God. But I do digress. What does she say at the end of the verse 3? The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. You see, there's no other standard of standards. Even like we saw last week with justice, he cares about just weights and measures that you would weigh other things by. He identifies and defines what the reference is for these things, and it is God for everything. He is the rock. We don't decide what's right or true by anything else than by God, who alone is rock solid, infinite, eternal, unchangeable truth, we saw last week as well. Remember last week in the morning, we studied that God is a rock, as infinite, eternal, unchangeable justice. Herman Hoeksema noted the importance thinking about God as justice with the phrase rock in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. He is a rock. And I remind you that Hoeksema wrote this: God is the rock. He is the only abiding, firm, unchangeable reality, the standard, the criterion of all things. On that rock must be smashed all that comes against it, while all that clings to it shall surely be saved. For this reason, all his works are sound and whole and blameless, and in that sense, perfect. For the same reason, all his ways are judgments. Whether he walks with the children of men and leads them, he always judges. He is always the direction in which they must go. So the chapter of Deuteronomy goes on, Deuteronomy 32, verses 30 to 31. How should one chase 1,000 and to put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Now keep that in mind. Hannah is talking a lot about, in context of victory over our enemies, those who trust in other gods to be their rock. Their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. They even can testify to this. We've trusted in the wrong things. We've trusted in false gods. They never come through. They are not a rock. Earlier in chapter 32, verse 15, it says, he is the rock of our salvation, not to be forsaken. Psalm 118, verses 22 to 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The stone, the cornerstone, is what everything else in the church stands on. Nothing else, no one else. Jesus quotes this verse about himself in Matthew 21:42. Peter quotes it also. Christ quotes it a number of times. That is, he's saying he is the stone. He is the cornerstone of the church. He is the rock. And so he says in Matthew 16, 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter's confession, the confession of the church of Christ, is rock solid. And so his church will prevail in the gospel, in the Great Commission, which is mission impossible otherwise. But because it's founded on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, it will succeed. The rock will crush the gates of hell. And it's already broken through. I want you to think about the image in our back lot here. Have you noticed that all the gates of the parking lot, between the parking lot and the yard, have been bowled over? They're in rappled up pieces on the grass, along with the office and the school rooms that are all beat up, broken up little pieces, unrecognizable, along with the broken up foundation of all the cement, all broken up because that excavator came in and made mincemeat of it in short time, as Mr. Renner noted. Because of the power. He said, what power? Jesus is the rock. He has the power. He breaks up all those other things. Everything else is broken upon him if it will not trust in him as the rock solid cornerstone. I would remind you in passing that the plaque on that building, the Turner building of those who invested in it at the time, is now on the wall of my office as you would see the entrance to the door. We've preserved that, and we remember, though things have changed from Old to New Testament, Christ is still that cornerstone of the church. No unbelievers will break Christ. No unbelieving, rebellious people, including who would want to say they're the leaders of the church religiously, but proved to be Pharisees and Sadducees, building their rock and the rock of others, they make their fruit on something that's not solid ground. It's just sinking sand. They will be broken upon him, the cornerstone. They will not break him. All his enemies. So see verse 10 of what Hannah says. Verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Well, there's a prophecy of Christ. Particular, as you face adversity and oppression for serving Jesus in this life, awaiting eternal life, remember especially to stay on the rock by what he says. Reading his word is to stand on the Lord God, our rock. So remember Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You're struggling to stand, struggling to keep your feet on the ground and keep your knees from buckling. Keep going to God's word. Beloved, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God, Hannah says. So stand on the rock of God and his rock solid word, such as in these words, 2 Samuel 22, 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. 2 Samuel 22, 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Psalm 18, 2 and 46, that reflects that. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. That's another tune I'm familiar hearing people sing over the years. Maybe you are. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Have those songs, have these psalms on your lips to pray and to sing. Psalm 62, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Notice these ideas of strength and refuge and salvation and deliverance. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And further, because Jesus is the rock of your sure salvation, remember Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because Jesus is the rock of your salvation, your sure salvation. Remember Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, you go to places like Yosemite, where there are these enormous mountainous-like rock formations, and whatever you might notice that's different around it because of the weather or construction or development, those rocks are the same standing there always. Admittedly, we know of erosion, and sometimes pieces fall off El Capitan, but the sense of it is, you go there, they're the same, they're not moving. And that's the idea of God. Take me to the rock that is higher than I. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. I keep going back to the rock. He never changes. When you are tested, when you are shaken, because life is constantly changing, and often it would seem not for the better, lest we trust the rock-solid truth of Romans 8:28. When you're tested, when you're shaken, and you feel like you are about to be kicked off your feet and on your back, fight the temptation to look for your security and steadiness in something else. Fight the temptation to look for your security and steadiness and provision from anyone else. Because no one else is God. No one else is a rock like our God. There is no other place. There is no other person for you to go. There is no other rock but our God. There is no other rock but your God, beloved. So keep praying and keep singing Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Keep that in your heart. Memorize it. Have it often. Are we not always overwhelmed? Are we not always feeling like the earth is moving under our feet? Are we not always feeling like we need something or someone to help us get our lives in order and settled? Keep going to the rock that is higher than you. Not only for that sure strength and refuge and protection and deliverance, but remember, as we've looked at that scripture before, for perspective. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll be lifted up with eagle's wings, right? They who trust in the name of the Lord, Proverbs says, are trusting in him, they shall go up into the strong tower and be safe. But it's not just being in and within, protected from the world. It's being up and above the world with the perspective of Jesus Christ as he reveals everything to us in his word. And notice verse 1 of our text, 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." This is remarkable, right? She is rejoicing in God's salvation. She is so happy. She's rejoicing. And then she just has so much to say because she's so happy and rejoicing in the Lord. But this is in stark contrast to what she had been doing in chapter 1. What was she doing? Many years. I want to have a baby. My husband's other wife's having all these babies. I have nothing. And so we see her in chapter 1 crying and weeping so much so that she is mistaken to be drunk. Imagine that kind of weeping. But where does she weep? She takes it to God, the rock. She takes it into the temple. She comes in worship and praises God. That's what we saw as we sang Psalm 61. It goes on to talk about being in the temple, the tabernacle of God. You are here coming to the rock. He's lifting you up and being your strength and refuge as you speak. Worship with the means of grace, especially the word of God and its preaching, is God being your rock and bringing you from whatever is causing you sorrow to salvation and to rejoicing ultimately in the new heavens and the new earth at the resurrection. But even now, you come to God, you trust in him as long as it takes. You trust in the rock solid truth of what he, the rock, says as long as it takes. And you find that whatever the Lord's bringing you through and his purpose is all for your good, that it's rock solid true, and he will deliver you. And you'll find yourself rejoicing in him, the God, our rock. There is none other. There's none other. She took her shaking sorrow and tears to the immovable God, our rock, and he secured her and sustained her and provided and used her son, the answer to her crying prayers, to minister to him and his and her people. Even to find and anoint David, who is the type extraordinaire of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who would sit on his throne and save us of our sins, the cornerstone of his church. So she testifies to all. She testifies to you to trust in God, our rock, who alone is God, who alone is our rock, who alone hears, who alone helps. Only God is reliable for shelter in storms. Now, remember that God alone is the rock. Is reliable for shelter in storms. Only God is reliable for shelter in storms. That is the message for you this morning from the text. Keep trusting in God, your rock, who cannot be moved. Again, the message for you this morning. Keep trusting in God, your rock, who cannot be moved. our existence has saved us and is sufficient alone to be our salvation in this life and unto the next, giving us eternal life and giving us abundant life as we persevere. There's no rock but our God. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the church, and all your people said,